Thank you so much, Ms. Pat and choir and Brother Ken. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue our study in faith. What is faith? We've looked at different elements of faith and what it means to truly believe that God exists and to follow Him. We've looked at certain characters that the writer of Hebrews is using as encouragement to these Jewish people. They're looking at this Faith Hall of Fame. And what they're finding is examples of what it means to believe God and to follow God. We looked last week at Abraham and Sarah and looking at believing the impossible, that God is able to make things come about even when we don't understand. He is faithful. We've looked at people like Noah, the duration of faith and how we stay the course, we endure, we believe, and we work accordingly. We've looked at faith without works is dead. And we looked at faith does accompany works, or works are accompanied by faith. This morning we're going to look at the testing of faith. We're looking at faith tested, and we're going to revisit Abraham and looking at Abraham and Isaac. I'm so glad you're here, and if you would stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, just three verses. Says, by faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Says, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Father, would you bless this time together this morning? Would you open our eyes to see you in all of your power and glory? And God, help us to know how to truly follow you and to live by faith. Thank you, and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In thinking about what it means to follow Jesus, to walk with him, that's not always easy. We see here Abraham last week had been Sarah. God had made a promise. He had called Abraham to get up and leave his homeland, the Ur of the Chaldeans, and to go to a place that he would show him. And in doing that, God said he would bless him. He would give him a nation. He would give him a land, and he would give him from his seed there would be he would be the father of a great multitude, a great nation. It says his descendants would be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And we saw that in this journey, in this pilgrimage of faith with Abraham, that promise took a lot of time. We talked about sometimes faith is waiting on God. It is trusting Him and waiting when it's not easy, when it's difficult, when circumstances seem like they're impossible and they're never going to come about. And we look at Sarah. We looked at the Scripture said that she was barren and that Abraham was nearly 100 years old. But the blessing came. Amen. We saw God's faithfulness. We saw that he delivered the child of promise, Isaac. And we see just the four fruits of this promise coming to fruition. But now we see here in Genesis chapter 22 that God is going to ask Abraham to do something that seems very, very odd, to say the least. In Genesis 22, if you want to turn with me, we're going to see this story of God calling Abraham to do something else that's very, very difficult. Now, for me, to get up and leave your homeland and go to a place I'll show you is something very difficult. Some of you know what that's like. You've changed jobs, you've moved towns, locations, you've heard God speak and you've said, God, I believe you and I trust you and I don't understand, but I want to be faithful. And I'm going to act accordingly to who I say I am, and that is that I've surrendered my life to you, and I want to follow you. And you've made these decisions to walk and to move and to obey, even though you did not understand. I think we would all have testimonies of time of testing in our life. But this, guys, is the ultimate test. Because we see his one son, it says he actually uses the word begotten son, and that's the son that he loves so dearly, this special, this unique son. We know that he had another son, Ishmael. When Sarah wanted to hurry God up a little bit and refused to wait, wanted to help God out a little bit, which we sometimes want to do, in her journey, she moved a little ahead of God and offered her maidservant to Abraham, and there was a child born by the name of Ishmael, to where comes all the Arab nation, and this Jews and Arabs have been fighting for years and years because of her moving a little ahead of God. But I will say that we don't always get it right. We mess it up. But even through that, God is still faithful. And Sarah is listed in His Faith Hall of Fame as one who believed God and that God blessed her with this son. But now this son is growing up. Sarah and Abraham are getting older. And now we see the ultimate test. Look with me there at Genesis 22, verse 1. It says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now just stopping right there and looking at genuine faith, looking at real faith, look at faith that is being tested, we see here, we see first off that Abraham is called to get up, take his son, and go and offer him on this mountain that God would show him, to offer him as a sacrifice. Now theologically, that probably causes us to scratch our head just a little bit. It causes us to really think about the nature of God and who He is and what He calls us to do and the things we've learned about Him. But I will say this, that when God calls us to do something, we hear, and faith, the first thing I want to say about faith is, faith, we must be open and ready for whatever God wants us to do. Let me say that again. To walk by faith, we must be open and ready for whatever God wants us to do. Faith says, here I am. Look at what it says. It says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. How many of you sitting where you sit right now can say, God, here I am. I'm completely yours. I'm available for your plans and purpose. I'm surrendered to your will. I have trusted my life completely in your care. And here I am. Remember, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it says here that when Abraham heard God say, Abraham said, here I am. The first step of faith and walking by faith and being real and genuine is to say, God, here I am. I believe, remember when Enoch, it says he walked with God, but it says he believed God existed and he rewarded those who follow him and who trust him. Just back in Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6 and 7, you can see the story of Enoch there. And so we see that faith says, God, here I am. Here I am. Abraham knew that God is completely good and never commands evil. Abraham knew that God is completely wise and must have a plan. Abraham knew that God is completely just and would not treat Isaac unfairly. Abraham knew that God is completely powerful and would keep his promises. Even in the midst of an apparent contradiction, Abraham could trust and obey. I almost led you in that song this morning, because it was going through this lesson as I think about trusting Jesus and truly obeying. Faith is seen in our obedience. Obedience is a measure of our trust in the Lord God Almighty. So even in the midst of contradiction, Abraham could trust and obey. Not because he knew exactly what was going on, but because he knew the one who did. And I think that's why he could say, God, here I am. He knew that God had a plan and he could trust him. And when Abraham demonstrated his faith through this radical test, you'll go on and see, and I'll tell you more about what's going to happen. So the first thing we see in faith is be open and ready for whatever God wants us to do. Secondly, faith listens closely to God's commands. Look at verse 2. Faith listens closely to God's commands. Genesis 22, it says here, verse 2, he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So we see him listening. After he says, here I am, he listens. You know, one of the things our world and our church people in the world, I mean, people in general need to learn to listen to God. You say, well, I didn't know. I don't know. How do I know? And there's all this mystery around who God is and His will for our life. This is how we know God's purposes. This is how we know His plan. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So if you want to walk by faith, and if you want to trust God, and you believe that He exists and rewards those who follow Him, then you not only need to say, Father, here I am, but you need to listen. So in this posture of listening and offering himself to God, Abraham hears God say clearly what it says in verse 2. Take your son, your only son, your begotten son, your child of promise, the one that where your pride and your hope and your happiness dwells. Remember Sarah, Isaac's name meant laughter because she had laughed when God promised her the son. But now she was living and experiencing joy through Isaac. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So faith listens clearly to God's command. Thirdly, faith prepares to worship. I hope this morning, I sometimes wake up and I hope I do it more so than just Sunday morning, but I really get thrilled and excited to worship with you guys on Sunday morning. So I wake up pretty early on Sunday morning. I begin praying. I've prayed and I've studied during the week, but Sunday morning is game time. You know what I'm saying? Sunday morning is it. I'm just thrilled to join with you guys. I'm thrilled to look into God's Word. I'm thrilled for Brother Ken to lead us in songs and us worship together. And I'm not only trying to prepare myself, but I'm trying to prepare my family. Now, they don't always quite jump on the enthusiasm like I do. I'm like, it's exciting. It's a special day. And some of them, my kids and my wife will say, well, what's going on today? And I immediately have to remind them that we're going to be with God's people and we're going to see Him do great things in our midst. Because we expect Him to work. We want Him to move in our midst. We've prayed during the week. We've thought during the week. We've led up to this point. We prepared, hopefully. And now we're here. Faith prepares for God to do a work. Look at verse 3. Notice how Abraham immediately begins to obey, trust God, and act in that obedience. It says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had already told him. Do you see the verbs there? He rose early. He saddled his donkey. He took some men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood. Now, can you just imagine? Cutting wood's kind of a chore, but cutting wood that God's told you to light under your son? Can you imagine what Abraham must be going through as he's going through this? He's being obedient. He's being faithful one step at a time. He don't understand, but nonetheless, he said, here I am. He's heard, and now he's preparing. He's preparing for worship. Matter of fact, when they're going to go up that mountain, that is a time of worship. That's a father-son where we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to trust God. Now, teenagers here, I can't help but to think about Isaac and all the commentary I read and studied this week. Of all the things I thought about, not one person mentioned what Isaac must be going through as Abraham saddles the donkey, cuts the wood, and says, we're going to offer a sacrifice. Isaac's about to ask him, the wood, the fire, where's the sacrifice? Isaac had seen this once before. Teenagers, young people, fathers. Walking by faith is preparing ourselves for worship, to hear Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, to offer ourselves completely to Him. Isaac is fixing to be told and understand that, especially as Abraham would lay him on that altar and take the knife above him, imagine what Isaac must be thinking. Now, I don't know exactly how old Isaac is here, but I know Abraham's well over 100 years old. I'm sure Isaac can run faster, jump higher, and is a lot quicker than his father Abraham. And I'm just going to tell y'all, I tried to put myself in the different characters of the people I study in Walking by Faith. And this is not only an act of faith of Abraham, but for Isaac to lay on that altar with his dad raising his knife is an act of faith from Isaac. Because like Isaac, many of us, we say, wait a second, God. I signed up to trust you, and I walked down the aisle, and I said a prayer. But to go through something like this, something's wrong. You don't understand. You've lost your mind. I know better. Imagine what must you be thinking about, what Isaac must be thinking about as Abraham sets him on that altar. Maybe he's thinking, my dad's suffering some serious dementia. Maybe he's losing his mind. Maybe he's not heard right from God. Imagine what Abraham is probably going through, the feelings. But the word there, it says it in Abraham, the Hebrew word, and in the Greek in Hebrews, the word means that Abraham had already resolved. He, in his mind, he had already offered Isaac. He had already resolved to sacrifice his son. That's how faithful he was and obedient he was to God's commands. So in thinking about Isaac, he laid there and he had faith in God that God was gonna, that had a plan. So firstly, we see we must be open and ready for whatever God wants to do. Faith says, here I am. Secondly, faith listens closely to God's command. Thirdly, faith prepares to worship. Abraham had reached this point, maybe through seeing God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, maybe him seeing Lot's wife turn into a pillar of salt, maybe through some of his disobedience and some of his Haran wanderings, maybe through his lying to Abimelech and seeing many of the ladies and the people there not be able to have children, and then God opening up their wombs, maybe through his sanctification process, God had brought him to this point to where he says, God, I'm going to follow, I'm going to surrender, I'm going to submit no matter what. That's the place you and I have got to get to. That's what true faith is, and it's measured by our obedience. It's measured by our submission. Remember last week when we said that, and y'all help me remember, I remember sitting down in his chair several times, but that example I gave was faith fully rests on what God is doing. It's placing ourselves in His arms and in His care. And remember when John Patton was converting the languages to those island natives there in that rough place, he didn't know the word for trust. And he said one of the guys came in, the natives came in, and he flopped down in the chair, and he says, I'm going to fully rest here for a minute. And he said that was the word for trust that he had been trying to capture. And he said, and he began to think about, that's what it means to truly trust God, is to sit down and place our full care in His arms and in His will and plans. And so, Abraham offers everything to God. He submits his whole life and being to Him. And Charles Spurgeon writes a little something about this. I want to read it to you. Spurgeon says, it may be that Isaac, though a gift from God, began to usurp God's place. An Isaac may become an idol. The dearest thing we have, the most precious, the most beloved, may still become an abomination by being made an idol to keep us away from God. Some of the heathen worship gods of mud. Others worship gods of gold. But there is no difference in the idolatry, whether the image be made of mire or of the most precious metal. Do you have any idols, dear friends? Charles Spurgeon would go ahead and say, he says, I'm not going to press the question too closely, but whatever your idols may be, they will bring you a world of trouble, for you must love nothing in comparison to God. He must be first and everything else far away in the background. He will endure no rivals. He will permit no Dagon to stand in the place where the Ark of the Covenant abides. So God tests Abraham to see who has most of his heart's love. This is a different element that I'm bringing into this message, that you wonder why God was testing him. You wonder if Isaac was maybe beginning to take a little bit more of the proper place that God deserved. And I can't help but to think about our lives and all that we put first and before God. What are your idols? What are your Isaacs? Children are a blessing from the Lord. But many families are being torn apart by children that we've put on the throne of our lives, and not under the proper authority, under God, as we should. We've taken God off the throne and we're worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. And Romans, Brother Kenny talked about this morning, as if you go ahead and continue that study in Romans 1 and 2 and read that, you'll see that disobedience becomes full-blown sin. And our sweet little gift from God, if it's not placed in the right perspective and loved and shepherded and cared for, as our love for God is paramount and forefront of our life and our family, then that little child becomes an idol. And when that little child grows up, they'll destroy your family and your life. And you can see the rebellious spirit in all children. You can see it. And it's hard. I talked about Wednesday nights. I've been thinking and praying about maybe offering a parenting focus on Sunday nights as our team kid leaders come in, team kid people come in and they offer and they bring their children. And we're so thankful that they do bring their children, but they need rest also. They need to know how to follow God. They need to know how to trust Him and to offer their Isaacs back to God as He tests us. We need to make sure we know how to put everything in the proper perspective under God's authority. And so there's things I'm thinking about. How can I engage these parents that come in and drop their little children off? They let us teach them, but are they teaching them? How do I help them teach their children? How do we become good fathers and mothers that really rest in the arms of God and sit down under His authority and say, God, we need You. We surrender to You. We follow You. Help us to be faithful to You, especially in leading the Isaacs You've given us in our lives. Faith prepares to worship, offering everything to God, submitting your whole life and being to Him. Fourthly, faith proceeds with God's call, believing Him to work out the impossible. Faith proceeds with God's call, believing Him to work out the impossible. Look at verses 4 through 8. Verses 4 through 8. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." Let me read that verse to you again. "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." That's a plural subject. I and the boy, with the verb, will go where? We'll go over there, Mount Moriah, and worship. Another verb, we will go over and come again to you. Verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, here am I, my son.' He said, 'Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering, for a burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son.' So they went both of them together." We see here that faith, remember I talked about faith endures? Faith proceeds when you don't understand. Faith perseveres in the face of testing. A faith that has not come to a resting place in Christ has not won the test of... it's not endured. It's not persevered. Faith endures until the end. Faith rests in the work of God. It trusts in His promises. He says in Hebrews 11:19, I want to take you back to the original text. Hebrews 11:19, it says this. Remember, I thought this was really interesting. And it says it, Hebrews 11, verse 19. "He considered that God was able even to raise Him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, He did receive Him back." Faith, look at that, believed and considered It's an accounting term. He considered, he accounted that God was able even to raise him from the dead. Now, there had never even been a resurrection at this point. Remember that Abraham saw the city of God. Remember that Abraham saw God's promises. Remember that Abraham seemed to have foresight that came from believing and trusting God. James 2 verse 23 says that Abraham passed the test. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's not that he was credited righteous because he did some kind of work. It was like with the belief, he obeyed. So God even helped give him the faith to obey, to follow, and because he obeyed, Romans chapter 4, Galatians chapter 3, it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God was able. He believed God was powerful. He believed God could do the impossible. He believed even that God could raise Isaac from the dead. And so he proceeded on. He pressed on. Faith surrenders everything to God and fully obeys. Look at verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10, it says, so they went on together, verse 8, that God said, he said, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Faith surrenders everything to God and fully obeys. Guys, there's not a believer in this room that's not walked with God for a period of time to where you've not been tested, that your faith has not been tried. I can tell you times of points of surrender in my life where my old pride, rebellious heart was bucking up in the face of God, and God had to begin to work in my heart. He began to show me things. He began to crush me and bring humility because He was preparing me for His work. He was helping me and strengthening me. It's called sanctification. It is a testing. It's not a tempting. The devil tempts. God tests. The words are similar, but they're different. A temptation is offered by Satan in hopes that you will fail. A test is offered by God so that He can strengthen you with the goal of seeing you overcome and be victorious. Right? There are testings that take place in our life that show that we truly believe God and that we're going to follow God. I remember a point in time where I was reaching a breaking point. I remember my twin brother came in and I can't imagine what he must have thought. But I was working at Ackerman Baptist Church. I knew God was calling me to something. I didn't know where, I didn't know what. There was a couple of options on the table, but everything I knew and loved was right around Starkville, Mississippi and Ackerman Baptist Church. I'd only been there maybe 2 years. I'd begin to work there at Mississippi State and would work during the summer. And then full-time and part-time during while I was at the university there at Mississippi State. And had grown some solid relationships. Loved these people. They loved me. But a call to ministry was a call to preparation. I knew that. God was opening doors and He was leading me away. And it was so hard. It was so hard. And I was not at the point of surrender. I remember going to the office every day and thinking I was. And saying, God, I remember hitting my knees. But there was this one day where I went in the prayer room and I just fell on my face before God and just feeling all of this weight and all of this heaviness as I was trying to surrender best I knew how from God's Word. But evidently, my heart was not right. And I remember just giving it all to God and saying, God, I trust You. I follow You. Wherever You take me, I'm going to go and I'm going to be willing. And I know it's Your perfect plan for my life. And I remember coming out of there, and I'm not a crier. My wife can tell you, she's only seen me cry just maybe one or two times in my life. But I remember clearly that my face must have been red, and I had been weeping and crying. And my twin brother happened to come up at just the right time. And I'm sure he was thinking, man, Stephen, what in the world was going on in there? Probably thought I was in a fist fight, and I felt like I had been in a fist fight. Because it's not always easy submitting and surrendering to God. But at the end of the day, if you are people of faith, then you have to say, not my will, but Thy will be done. And I was finally able to just lay it all down and say, okay, God, I'm ready. I remember hearing a sermon that next Sunday, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. God had a plan and purpose for me, and I began to see more clearly. I felt like I was on the altar. I felt like, in a symbolic sense, like Abraham walking up that mountain because I wanted to be faithful, but it seemed so hard. It seemed so difficult. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't, to truly believe and trust God means that you leave and you obey. You submit. You offer up your home, your family, your calling, your job. You offer up your friends. You offer up your children that may be sent to another country to share the good news. And you do it with joy. You do it best you can, one day at a time, believing that God's got a plan. And He knows, and He's able to do the impossible. You've got to be able to admit that you don't understand. But you, like Abraham, you believe that God can raise the dead and will. He'll raise the dead and He will. Number six, faith. Lastly, we're getting toward the end. Faith is seeing the substitute. Faith is seeing the substitute. Look at verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now that's kind of interesting because I thought God was omniscient. And I know that He is. God is all-knowing. So it's interesting, the writer here says that now, God says, now I know. I was listening to he talks about knowing experientially. And that was kind of interesting how he broke that all up. But there is a sense where now that even though God knew what Abraham was going to do, now he's seen it in the sense that Abraham was raising the knife and had really in his mind already resolved to slaughter his son. He says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. He looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. As he was caught in the thicket by his horns, it says, Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. I think you can see this last point I'm going to make is that I believe that Romans 8, 32 says this. Romans 8, 32 says this about God and His love for us. It says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? I think that we know here, when we see this ram caught in the thicket, we see this as a substitute for Isaac. I think we see the parallels that Mount Moriah is said that it is right where Mount Calvary is now in Jerusalem. There is, if you see the parallels in this, you see this lamb and you think about Jesus, the lamb who was slain for the sins of the world. You see Isaac laying there. You think about your sin. You think about a great Savior who came, and we think about a God named Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. We see the ram that was the substitute offered in place, offered as a sacrifice in place of Isaac. We see a Father who loved His people so much that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We see here Jesus is the lamb caught in the thicket who died in our place. We must know that God has a plan. We must trust and obey. As Abraham and Isaac went up one side of the mountain, the ram was going up the other side. Remember, God has a plan. Just obey. Just follow one day at a time, one step at a time. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. Submit, surrender, and know that if God calls you to something, He's going to give you the strength to make it to it. My buddy back here, we've been talking about that He gives us the strength we need to do what He calls us to do. So Abraham knew if God called him to it, He would give him the strength and the grace to make it through it. Now, if you misquote that, you say, God calls me to it and I'm able to do it. He'll never put on me more than I can handle. Sometimes we say that, right? I can handle it. No, He's not going to put more on you that you can handle by His strength and grace and leading. As they were going up one side of the mountain, the ram was going up the other side because God already knew. God already had a plan. And God was fulfilling His purpose. And I think I'm so thankful that in Mount Calvary that Jesus carried the wood and the knife up his instrument of torture, and he climbed up that mountain, and he would lay it there, and he would spread himself on it or be chained to it or be nailed to it because God was displaying his love for his people. Jesus was dying in my place. Do you believe God has a plan that involves you? Do you trust Him and do you surrender everything to Him? Do you believe the impossible is possible with God? What is your Isaac? Have you let it go? Have you laid it on the, have you taken it to God? Have you surrendered everything to Him? You remember, this Hebrew audience must remember Abraham's faith in God. They must follow the Savior that God has sent as a sacrificial lamb. They must surrender everything to God who loves them and who has provided for them, Jehovah Jireh. The victory of faith comes as we persevere to the end. The victory of faith. I want to tell you about, I want to close with an illustration here. There's the greatest piano, I'm told, one of the greatest pianos is called the Steinway piano. They're built the same today as they were 140 years ago by Henry Steinway. It's made up, this piano has 200 craftsmen and 12,000 parts. And they're required to produce these magnificent instruments. The most crucial is the rim bending process, where 18 layers of maple are bent around an iron press to create the shape of the Steinway Grand. And then there's 5 coats of lacquer applied and then hand rubbed to give the piano its outer glow. The instrument then goes into the pounder room. Now this pounder room is where each key is pounded 10,000 times to ensure quality and durability. Guys, I want to tell you that followers of Jesus Christ are much like the Grand Steinway, or being handcrafted, with all of the steps being watched over and directed by our Most High God, the one who is sovereign and in control of every detail of the process, often referred to, as I mentioned to you, sanctification. We are being pressed and formed and shaped that we all might become conformed, made into the image of Christ, our Savior, the image of His Son. We're being polished, sometimes with what seems like a great amount of what we might would call rubbing of affliction, until we glow. We are then being continually tested in the laboratory of everyday human experience. The process of sanctification is not always pleasant, but we can persevere with hope, knowing that our lives will increasingly reflect the beauty of holiness to the eternal praise of the Most High God. Is the Most High God bending, shaping, or polishing you right now? Knowing the truth about His character, especially His trustworthiness, will help you, even in painful times, to know how to trust Him and to follow Him. Remember that He has not allowed trials to provoke us or destroy us, but to refine us and ultimately make us more like Jesus. Never forget the grand purpose for which He created you, as we talked about. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Are you open and ready for God to do whatever He wants to do? That's faith. Have you listened clearly to God's commands, and are you hearing Him? Are you wanting to know Him? Are you trusting Him and believing Him that He speaks through His Word? Are you preparing to worship Him by offering Him your life and submitting your life to Him? Romans 12:2. Presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you proceeding with God's call, believing Him to work and do even the impossible? Are you surrendering everything to Him and obeying? And lastly, faith simply is believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died in your place. Have you trusted Him? Have you believed on Him unto salvation? As the Word tells us, that only God's Word and His Spirit can effectually bring about salvation in your life. This effectual calling of God, when He speaks to you and by faith you submit and surrender and turn, which means repent, and you go toward Him Have you believed God to the point to where you truly have left your life of sin? You've offered Him your everything, and you're following Him, and you're obeying Him. We're going to have a time of invitation. Miss Pat's going to come, and Brother Ken's going to come, and this is a chance. We are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning and commemorate the Lord's Supper. We're going to think about that sacrifice, to where the Lamb of God, Jesus, came and died on the cross for us. We're going to think about His body that was broken, His blood that was shed, and what that means to us. This altar is open. I didn't give you a heads up that we were going to commemorate the Lord's Supper, so I would love for you to take the time to prepare. Matter of fact, if we could just remain seated as Brother Ken leads us in a song, you can remain seated. If you want to respond, this Lord's Supper is called Open Communion. Anybody who has professed faith in the Lord Jesus and is trusting the Lord Jesus to save you from your sins, knowing that you were never good enough and never could become good enough to be right with God, you were able to participate and partake in these elements of the broken body and the blood of Jesus. So with every how bowed and every eye closed, you prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper as Brother Ken leads us in this time, as Miss Pat plays.